Chapter 85. Darrow. Dusk and Dawn. Nival night approaches, and still all I can think about is Cassius up on the Lightbringer with Lysander. A dozen of Gaia's Dustwalkers lead me across Plutus' skyway. I watch the Lightbringer as we walk. Its spear shape is distorted. They've gotten a shield back over the city, but it will take years to repair the damage from Far's attack. Beyond the broken battle walls, Io darkens as it slides into Jupiter's shadow. Only the Garter glows on. Its artificial suns cast light over the fragile world of orchards, grain fields, and silver mists. Refugee camps fill the distant spaceport and wind through the citrus groves all the way up to the stone folds of the goddess's robes. I hear the camps also cover the next level of the Garter beneath the surface. Demeter of Plutus, the great statue that sits to the north of the city, embedded in the side of a harnessed volcano, wears a passive expression. The goddess clutches a bundle of grain to her chest in her left arm. Her right arm is held out, the hand open, the palm up. In that palm, she cups a simple circular building of European nickel that emits a silvery light. Like moths, the dusky-robed moon lords rise from the city or descend from their ships to attend Diomedes' summit. All the beauty seems so inconsequential when someone you love is in danger. Stone, states, philosophy, they feel so secondary to the fleeting preciousness of life. Beneath the statue, in the agricultural offices in the heart of Plutus, the dustwalkers deposit me in the room of an arch-grower and depart, leaving two at the door in reserve. There, in a simple sitting room, Gaia waits with the man of the hour. Diomedes and his grandmother are both dressed in homespun vestments. Gaia's are brown and gold. Diomedes is the color of storm, a dragon pin and the lightning bolts of his office the only embellishments. Gaia, curled on a cushion by a window overlooking grain fields toward the statue, does not turn as I enter. The box containing Far's head lies on a chair. Pyrphoros lies in Gaia's lap. I feel possessive of the blade, protective of the daughters who made it, and what they'd think of it lying on the lap of the woman who ran the Cryptea for half her life. To many, especially Athena, Gaia would be considered the architect of the Rim's subtler form of tyranny. "Any word from Lysander or Cassius?" I ask Diomedes. "Not yet." My anxiety deepens. I glance at the House of Bounty. "We're going to be late to your own summit," I say. "We are still attending, yes?" Diomedes does not answer. Gaia nods at the window toward the building in Demeter's palm.
"For 519 years, the Ecclesia have met in the House of Bounty before every cycle. I remember my mother taking me there when I was a girl, sitting on the steps, listening to the growers bicker about the next harvest, the rotation of the crops, the fertilization of the soil. This is the first time it'll host a conference of war. Diomedes has told me of the triumvirate he wants to make with Loon."
"It can be a conference of peace, too," I say. "We could end war in our lifetimes. I assume Diomedes has explained his plans with Loon and me. Will you lend support?" Gaia turns a little to look at me. Disgust fills her eyes.
"No."
I glance at Diomedes. He already knew this. I'm baffled. "Diomedes gave me his word."
"Diomedes is a servant of the Dominion. His personal guarantees and honor are subservient to his duties," she says. "My son Romulus knew this. He lied about your crime to keep us from war, Darrow. He shamed himself for the sake of his dominion. So, too, will Diomedes."
I feel the world sinking out from under me. She's not going to let me go to the summit.
You're going to let Atlas get away with it,
I whisper.
You're going to just swallow it all.
The Volk will pay for their crimes. The daughters are terrorists. Loon will destroy them. And I will destroy you, she says.
I search Diomedes' face for signs of shame. There are none. Atlas is responsible for the deaths of millions of your people, I say.
Yes, she says.
Oh, no. No. You already knew, I say.
I am cursed to be the mother of fear. My boy is so much like me. He feels too much. He is tortured, but he has his duty, and I have mine. That is what my son told me when he visited me in my cell, when I was held captive by his pet warlord. It was his last revenge, you see. When we sent him as hostage to Luna, I did not see him off. I couldn't bear it. The last words I spoke to him were, "Do your duty."
I feel like I am drowning. All my allies, all my people out here will be undone by this woman who is so old she will not live to see the future she steals from them.
You are the matron of House Ra, I say. You are part of the Moon Council.
You have a duty to your people. You would cast the moons into the shadow of another lie. Worse, you'll demand your grandson bear its weight.
Tell me, Gaia, how will it feel to watch Diomedes march to the dragon tomb when this lie is uncovered? To watch him waste his life the same way Romulus, your son, wasted his own? I can't help but laugh.
Are we amusing you?
No. You are tragic. I look at Diomedes, unable to understand. He just watches his grandmother. Gaia hefts Pyrophoros.
What does it take to master one of these blades, Darrow?
Gaia rasps, but answers without giving me a chance to reply.
Pain. Discipline. Sacrifice. We of the Cryptea have a sacred charge separate from the edicts of the Moon Lords to keep order in these spheres. The hierarchy is essential to order.
Flawed as it may be, the Republic has proven that is not always the case, I reply.
12 years, she cackles. 12 all at war. We have secured contiguous government for more than half a millennium, boy. Your frail experiment hasn't the legs for another year. You think gold is the problem? There has always been a human pyramid in every civilization beneath the sun. It is human nature to crawl upward. But if there are not rigid ceilings, everyone will think they should have everything. Then what do you get? An unstable structure at war with itself. Ravenous resource consumption. The despoilment of natural habitats, beauty, worlds. Your republic and your free market rape natural sanctuaries, poach rare beasts to extinction, consume, devour what took an epoch of order to build.
She glares at me.
I can speak 21 dead tongues, name every species of wildlife in our spheres, recite the caloric intake of at least 130 cities in this dominion. I have dedicated my life to the study of social engineering, to the history of humanity, and you tell me that a red who can't name 5 moons of Ilium should have the same say in government? Democracy gives humanity what it wants, boy. The hierarchy gives humanity what it needs. Structure. And hope to escape our own stupidity. My son Atlas knows that my duty to the hierarchy supersedes all others. Even my great love of rim independence. That is why he told me of his work here, face to face. He knows I will be trapped in silence. He knows I understand the chaos that will awaken if his work here seeps into the light of day. He even granted me a boon, and said Far would solve the problem of the daughters for me. His last words were, Do your duty, mother.
I stare at Diomedes. His face is unreadable.
Diomedes, you can't really go along with this. You can't be that full of shit.
Gaia looks at her grandson with absolute love.
Diomedes is a servant of the Dominion, of his ancestors, of the hierarchy.
She extends Pyrphoros to him. He takes it.
The blood of Akari swirls in his veins. So he will do his sworn duty. He will keep his silence. He will bear this disgusting lie for the greater good, and he will kill you. Here and now.
What of my guest rights? I ask.
Have you eaten bread?
She asks. I almost laugh again.
I'll die because of a bloody damn technicality.
So what does she make of your new oath, Diomedes? I ask.
I was waiting for the proper moment to tell her. It is now.
He looks at the guards by the door.
Leave.
They wait for Gaia to nod before obeying. When they have gone, Diomedes stares hard at me, then wraps Pyrphoros around his own neck, hands his grandmother the handle, and then goes to his knees. Gaia stares in shock.
What is this?
I feel exultant and watch Diomedes in admiration, a true man of honor. He looks up at his grandmother and says,
Gold has failed its duty, grandmother, in the core and here. When we failed to protect the people, even from our own blood, the daughters of Ares had to do it for us. How are they terrorists? On Europa, they saved millions, both by harboring refugees and taking part in the assault on Far. When defense was needed, they offered it freely and paid with their lives. I have sworn to protect them, to take up their cause as my own. Tonight, when I become hegemon, I will deal with the matters before us, but I will, in time, pursue the cause of dismantling the hierarchy. I will reform our laws. I will demolish the Cryptea. You've said it yourself. The Achilles heel of the cord has always been greed, and ours has always been pride. I tire of both. So do the people. Gold has failed. We need order, yes, but not the same order that brought us here.
Horrified, Gaia looks about to reply, but Diomedes is on a roll. It is the most verbose I have ever seen the man.
I will not swallow this monstrous lie of Atlas. I will not make nice with Atalantia, who treats the lives of millions as a game. Akari asked for gold to be philosopher kings. Maybe we were that way once. Now we are just dragons guarding our treasure. We may be superior in intelligence, in our lifespans, in our capacity for violence, but not in our humanity. We failed, grandmother, long before Atlas set his warlord on us, long before Rhea. We are medieval. We are grotesque. I love you with all my heart, but you represent a past that fears the future. I will not accept that. So, if it is true that the young cannot teach the old, and the old must always teach the young, kill me, for I will learn no other way.
If anyone else had said such a thing to Gaia, she would laugh at them. But Diomedes is not a man fond of hyperbole. Gaia watches him with shock, then disbelief,
then horror, then anger, and finally, absolute misery. A burst of grief escapes her mouth. Tears stream.
No, Diomedes, no, no.
She flings away the handle of the weapon and tries to pull him up, but it's like moving an anvil. He pushes the weapon back into her hands.
Diomedes, stop this. It's because of her, isn't it? That viper in our garden, Ori. She's cast a spell on you.
She slaps him.
Wake up!
She slaps him again.
You betray all your ancestors. Our family has been devoured. You are our future.
I am, Diomedes says. So believe in me. I will honor Akari. I will protect the people. I will bring order, but in my own way.
Gaia looks up to the ceiling, as if to ask the heavens why they cursed her with this affliction. Then she hardens, looks at her grandson, rests her thumb on the retraction toggle of the handle of Pyphoros, as if she's about to take off his head. He watches her in sadness, but he will not yield. He will not bend. His convictions are iron, and when she realizes that, Gaia breaks. The weapon falls from her hand, and she sinks to the floor in grief. Diomedes unwraps Pyrphoros from his neck and wraps his arms around his grandmother. He whispers to her, and she buries her head in his chest. All the grief from these last months, and maybe even this last decade, pours out of her. Her frail body shakes for some time before growing still. After a few minutes, Diomedes helps Gaia stand.
The summit is nigh. I will need your support, grandmother. This family has more to do.
Her eyes are raw and red from crying. They fix on the door. She is frozen.
Grandmother, I heard you. Will you help us?
I cannot. But I will not oppose you.
That is not enough, he says,
and tilts her head up and looks her in the eyes.
When my brother died at the Battle of Ilium, you told me it was my duty to take his place as heir to the Dominion. You are the matron of House Ra, but you are more than that. You are our link to the generations who came before. Most of your contemporaries have faded into the mists of history. It is not yet your time to fade. Shine bright for me, grandmother. Lend me the light of your wisdom, your cunning, your fame. Atlas claimed your duty is to keep his secret. Atlas is wrong. Your duty is not silence. Your duty is to use your voice.
The words and the conviction behind them animate Gaia. She touches his cheek.
My little storm. I have waited so long for you to realize your strength is not in your arms, that it is like this.
She laughs.
I will never agree with you on this course of action. But maybe that is natural. I am the dusk now. You are the dawn. I have lived. I have had my say. I will help you have yours. That is what your father and mother would have wanted.
I look out the window. The darkness beyond the garter is now complete.
It is Nival night, I say. It's time. Then we go, Diomedes says. And we must trust Lysander and Cassius will meet us at the summit.